Hey, we're sponsored this week by Decode DC. It's the podcast that gives you an honest look into how politics affect your life. The host of Decode DC, Jimmy Williams, you got to hear this guy. I've mentioned before, I used to do some Dylan Radigan with this guy on MSNBC years ago. He's worked in politics both sides of the aisle. He's worked as a lobbyist. He knows his stuff. He's taken all that experience and he's explaining how things really work inside and outside of Washington. Decode DC is smart, surprising, and it challenges the conventional wisdom. Like in a recent episode where they did a show on salt and why the government decided to push food makers to reduce sodium. Check it out. I did. I think you'll love it. That's Decode DC, available on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Monday, October 10th, 2016. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. Wait, what happened? It's breaking news. This is a special version of the Majority Report. Sort of lied. It's not quite Monday, but it's late Sunday night. The wrap-up of the second presidential debate of 2016. Joining us to discuss the thriller in St. Lilla? Yeah, whatever. Cliff Schechter will be here, folks. All right. So let's forego the Cliff Schechter theme since it's not Friday. This is a special...
Exactly.
People can just hum, and it's too late for that. I mean, let's not.
We're all tired anyhow, and you know the song, folks.
Yeah, folks know the song, and we're going to hear it on Friday anyways.
That's true.
Kelly's singing it now. She's been here too long tonight, without a doubt. All right, so Cliff, the debate ended. There was a lot of anticipation leading up to the debate. Donald Trump held a press conference with a woman who alleges that Bill Clinton raped her, with a woman who was upset that Hillary Clinton, as a defense attorney, took on, I guess she was appointed, she had to, a case to defend a rapist, and another woman who claims that Bill Clinton, I think, either made sexual advances or was perhaps, you know, sort of sexually assaulted her. These people were given seats in the arena, not up close. They weren't one of the undecided voters, needless to say. And that was basically the lead up to the debate. The Clinton came out, stayed away from the tape. Trump came out, seemed to have been sedated, and stayed away from the tape. And then Anderson Cooper brought it up. So take it from there. I mean, what? Give me your overall feelings of the debate, and then we'll just go through some bits and pieces of it.
I mean, I think overall, first of all, let's start with the moderators did a better job than any of the other ones have. I think other moderators should have to watch Raddatz and Anderson Cooper. Just, you know, I mean, look, there are times where it was almost impossible to get either much more Trump than Hillary Clinton to stop talking. But they really tried to keep it to the questions and stop people when they weren't answering the question. They followed up. I thought that was very well done. You know, Trump came in. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. He was sort of incredibly aggressive. You know, I mean, he was sort of. He was sort of stomping around the stage a bit, following her around, standing over her. A lot of hostility, which I guess isn't shocking, and sort of viciousness directed at Hillary Clinton. I think she mostly chose to ignore it. I think in some ways that was to her disadvantage. I think that in the first debate she had some great sort of responses, because in a number of ways when he attacks her on almost anything he attacks her on, he sets himself up, because there's nothing she's done which he hasn't done 1,000 times more of. So I'm taking this as she went in realizing that his campaign's imploding, you know, that all this stuff's going on, and wanted to be a lot more cautious. So she didn't engage him nearly as much, which means she didn't come off as sort of spirited, I guess I would say. So, I you know, if I were looking at this, my impression watching it, trying to be unbiased, even though it's difficult, I'd say that it wasn't like that first debate where she just destroyed him and knocked him out. I'd say, you know, he even actually had some facts at his disposal this time mixed in with lots of things he made up.
Yep.
But I would say that so he seemed better compared to that first debate. He clearly was sedated with something. I think it's some sort of animal tranquilizer is what we'll go with. But I still would give it to her in points because he was so utterly obnoxious. And I'm saying to myself, after the revelations and the kind of everything that's come out over this weekend about his treatment of women. And by the way, the USA Today just broke another story about 20 different companies of his that have been sued for the way they've treated women. I mean, you know the Oppo dump isn't nearly done, and this stuff is going to continue. Right, that there's a lot more where any of this came from. And I don't see how he helped that in the way he acted towards her. I think that he played the stereotype. So I would say it was not necessarily as big a blowout as before. I don't think Hillary was quite as good. I think she was presidential. I don't think she was as good in terms of being spirited, in terms of having some great one-liners and responses. But at the same time, he was a little bit better on some things. He actually showed some knowledge of some things. I don't know if maybe he even prepared a little bit. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But he also, he also was way too aggressive and obnoxious. And then I would throw in the fact that he said a number of things that I think, you know, we talked about after that Pence debate, which is doing one thing the night of the debate, but how it plays in the future. You're already seeing a lot of people sending out things. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, lefties, but mainstream journalists sort of horrified about somebody standing on stage and saying if they get elected, they would prosecute their opponent, which is, again, one of those lines that people cross in dictatorial countries that we're not supposed to cross here, like numerous other lines that Donald Trump has crossed. That was one thing. At one point, he kind of threw Mike Pence under the bus and said he hadn't talked with him and he didn't care what, you know, almost didn't care what he said. I saw Nora O'Donnell over at CBS send something out that the Pence people are livid over that. So look at that to play out over the next couple of days. In other words, he did a number of things that nobody has ever done before in debates, because, again, this is Donald Trump, threatening to jail your opponent, attacking your own vice president. These are things that don't tend to go over well in the coming days. He also lied so blatantly about the Miss Universe thing. He was like, I didn't say anything about a sex tape. I mean, you can just see what's going to happen when the fact checking comes forward, when people start looking into some of these statements. So I think it's going to be tougher on him in the coming days. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I mean, that presumes that nothing else drops. I mean, I think there was a strategic decision tonight by the Clinton people to just sort of let the video, the Billy Bush video. I mean, I think to a certain extent, you know, it makes some sense too for them, like, you know, why we got everything we're going to get out of that. And, you know, short of Trump getting up and saying, like, I'll grab your pussy right now, or something to that effect, this wasn't going to continue to dominate the news. I mean, I think Trump did a good job of basically stopping the bleeding and reinforcing his base, which in some ways I think is going to be, you know, the worst case scenario, it seems for me, and it seems to me, for the Republicans. And now, you know, I really think the focus is about what happens down ticket, right? I mean, because I think there was certainly nothing that happened in this debate that led me to believe that the polls are going to change in any significant way. Maybe it stops the momentum, but, you know, it's Sunday night. You know, like, we have all next week to go. And I don't know where he goes from here, frankly. And because he's going to have to do something. It's not like he's going to make up the ground with his ground game. And that also presumes that.
Well, and that looks even worse. That's even worse because, you know, Joy Reid just sent something out and it seems, you know, there have been a lot of different reports about whether they told people, and there was an internal email that they had told their people to stop working on all stuff for Trump.
The RNC.
Yes, I should have said that, the RNC. And so now it seems they're almost like they're almost allowing people like to have conscience clauses of sorts to say, you know, it seems that they've said if you don't want to do stuff for Trump, you don't have to. I mean, I don't know what that means in the end.
Right. I mean, what kind of campaign is that where you tell the people who work in the office, like, hey, sometime tomorrow, just come by the desk and tell me whether or not you're going to work on this stuff. And right. if you're not going to do it, we'll find something else for you to do around the office. I mean, that's just bizarre. It's bizarre.
And again, what it said is true, which is they're switching their concentration from, you know, Trump voters to down ballot voters, you know, no matter who they're supporting for president. Well, they could be hurting Trump with who they turn out as much as they're helping him. You know, they just want to make sure they get people to the polls who are going to vote for their Senate candidates and other candidates. And there, as we know, there's a decent amount of crossover there, especially in a number of states among well-educated whites, among Republicans, among Hispanics who have had, you know, in certain states where certain senators have, Republican senators have actually done outreach of the opposite sort of Trump. So, you know, if they're not just, if their main priority isn't turning out Trump voters, but turning out people that will stop the bleeding on the down ballot side, that's going to not help Trump. It may harm him.
End. I mean, here, this is the dilemma. And look, I'm convinced that we're going to see another tape drop in the next couple of days. If not even, you know, I think people are going to be listening to this on Monday morning, Monday afternoon. I wouldn't be shocked by the time we do our show on Tuesday that there isn't another tape that drops. I don't know what it would be. It could be, you know, there's been rumors that there's a tape of him, you know, using the N-word, you know, The Apprentice. But apparently Burnett is refusing to release any footage from The Apprentice. But, I mean, I bet there's more of this stuff out there. And if anything, the weekend's been spent by people going around and checking out, like, hey, remember that time we had Trump on our Lives of Rich and Douchey? And didn't he say something to you that was really – what did he say? I don't know. Let's go back and listen to that tape. We must have the raw footage.
Well, so, when a guy behaves like this, right, so often in so many places – I mean, he's somebody who, before he became a right-wing politician, he was just a mainstream asshole. You know
right.
what I mean? I mean, he wasn't – so how many various places did he go that were, you know, from beyond even your CNNs and MSNBCs, but mainstream outlets where you know and I know from doing these things that you have a mic attached to you for a good period of time sometimes while you're sitting there before the camera gets to you? And who the hell knows what this guy – I mean, just do the math on that, the kinds of things he says constantly, you know. So, you know, if it's a Fox News or places like that, they might protect him. But before he became a right-wing nut, there's all sorts of places
right.
where, you know, this guy went and did TV hits and radio hits where he, you know, there are people that probably loathe him at this point.
Right.
So just the way it acts as Hollywood, they said, hey, we should probably go – you know, with stuff he said about women, they saw that AP story – and that's what led them to go back through, you know, when he'd been on Access Hollywood. And what do you know? They happen to come across this. I just have to believe there's a bunch more of this stuff out there. And I'd be pretty surprised if Clinton or allies didn't have it.
Oh, I'm quite convinced it was the Clinton campaign that in some way got a hold of that that Billy Bush stuff.
And
I mean, there's no doubt.
I'm pretty sure. We don't know who got it to farthen hold over at the Washington Post
right.
while NBC was sitting on it and having their lawyers like pull a replay of the movie The Insider.
Right. So, let's leave that aside for a moment. Let's talk about – let's just assume – I don't know. Let's assume for a moment that a new tape doesn't come out and things basically stay as they are. Apparently, this evening, now it's late Sunday night, Kellyanne Conway was just on, I don't know what if she was on, what network she was on, but she refused to answer the question whether or not she would stay with the campaign until the election. Now, I don't think people need to be, I don't think people need to be... you know, well-versed in campaigns. You really just need to be well-versed in anything to know that when your campaign, essentially your campaign manager or one of your chief strategists is not committing to stay on the campaign for the next 3 weeks, the last 3 weeks of the campaign, 4 weeks, you got a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And but here's the interesting thing, right? So you have a list of like, I don't know, how many is it now? 15, 20 senators that have rescinded their endorsement of Trump, is my understanding.
Yep.
Okay?
That's something like that, yeah.
And
number of governors.
Number of governors.
Also.
But let's think
Governor
about like
Utah,
the Kellyanne Conway. I mean, not the Kelly, the Kelly Ayotte's. Okay. The race in Missouri, the race in North Carolina, where Trump tonight, the one thing I think he did do is like he solidified his people again. You know what
yes.
I mean? Like he came out and won the Republican primary all over again tonight. And he won it against all these people who have now rescinded their endorsements of him. And he won it against Paul Ryan, who's stuck in a hard place. Like, I think this is the worst place for them to be in right now. Because they want to be on the side that is, like, overwhelmingly where the conventional wisdom is. And if Trump had come out there tonight and said, look, you know, black people, forget it. I don't care about them or whatever. Had he come out and done something like that where they could have all said, we're all off. We're all gone.
Right.
We're leaving him alone. We're going to tell our Senate people you're running, assuming that Clinton wins. You know, we've seen this type of election before. It's like, you got to vote for me to make sure that Hillary Clinton doesn't control the government.
That's right. Do they switch over and start doing that?
And they
That's
can't
exactly
do
right.
that now. They're frozen, waiting for the next shoe to drop. While Trump...
It's beautiful in a way. He's strung them along yet further.
This is not what I would choose if I was the Clinton campaign, because you don't want to risk this type of thing. You just want it to end. You want the kill shot. You right. You want to end.
Sure.
But in terms of my agenda, is not part of the Hillary Clinton campaign, which is I want to see the Republican Party debilitated as much as possible. I think this is sort of a really good place to be in, you know, and hopefully something drops over the next week or so. I mean, if I had something right now, I'd wait till like Wednesday. You know, I would like make like Kelly Conway like commit. You know, like you had Ted Cruz questioning whether or not he was going to rescind his endorsement, which he had basically rescinded his non-endorsement, and he's sitting there going like, "I don't know what to do." Like,
and while he's trying to figure out what to do, he's making phone calls.
Right.
Can you give money to Donald? No, I mean, seriously, his usually the way to maybe we can best tell what's going to happen is considering that Ted Cruz always screws everything up. Whatever Ted Cruz does, we'll know the opposite was probably the right thing to do.
I think
karma, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Like, what is, you know, Paul Ryan doing right now? And, you know, there was one moment in the speech. There was a couple of moments in the debate that stick out for me. I don't think Clinton did a great job, frankly. I think she did fine. I think she was in a better, I think she came across, actually, I think, like, I felt like the debate was a better format for her in some way. All the movement and whatnot, I found distracting. Like, you know, it was coming from Trump, but it was also like she was trying to pretend that this was a normal town hall in some respects.
Right.
It wasn't. Like, you know, like, it, you know, at one point, it would have been in a normal town hall, him standing behind her, like he did at one point, in like the creepiest of fashion. Like that would have been end of it all, right? But really,
should have just turned around and like, you know, shoot
exactly.
him away.
Like she should just turned around and said, like, would you mind just stepping a couple of feet away from me, please? You know,
see,
just
that's the thing. That was my issue with her in this, is that I thought she was knowledgeable. She was presidential. She smiled a lot. She got a lot of that stuff right, but she didn't have nearly as much energy. And I suspected that was on purpose because she was being cautious. And You know what? I know there's the old thing about, you know, don't step on your right. opponent's message or whatever. Don't get in the way when they're killing themselves. But I've never fully believed in that. I think you bury them.
Yes.
And the thing is that there are so many other things. Like, I was sure, and again, granted, the big story now has become this tape, but the big story before that was his taxes. And she did bring up his taxes, but she didn't go after him for being such a crappy businessman, which I was sure she was going to do, because nothing gets him to lose it like that. You know, just pointing out that the losses he incurred, and, you know, and he admitted.
I think going into this, they thought if we go after something else, it'll take the heat off of the tape. And I think I can understand why someone would make that assessment, but you need like a plan B. Like, hey, what if, and I think like she spent a little bit too much time on the defensive, but this is all stylistic.
It's also overthinking it. I mean, the media, this scandal is written for the media. You know, a sex tape, you know, or not a sex tape, but I mean, you know, a tape of him saying these kinds of things, these kind of lewd things and coming out for sexual assault. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that they love covering. There's not too many numbers in it. It's easy. It's, you know, I mean, it's got personalities and everything. I just think that was a mistake on their part, because I think that you don't have to worry about them. They're going to stay on this. And you get the, you know, you go back out there and remind people what a shitty businessman he is.
Yeah.
But, you know. Whatever.
I also think, you know, I think there was an opportunity for her to, you know, and she's not someone who has soaring rhetoric, but I think that when that woman spoke about Islamophobia, and Trump was basically like, yeah, well, yeah, that's sad. There's Islamophobia, but you know, Muslims got to really pick up the pace and start turning more of themselves in, and I think at that point, that's the opportunity for her, rather than sort of split these hairs of like, well, I'm only putting in, you know, 65,000 and I'm doing not extreme vetting, but heightened vetting. I think what she should have done at that point is said, like, look at this, you know, like the idea that we would have someone coming to a debate and saying, you know, please help me with the irrational hatred of me because of my religion. We've got to step back and look what's happening to America. Like, there was an opportunity to get involved in some sort of soaring rhetoric there. And I think, you know,
that's right.
They're being
quote the Constitution a bit, quote, you know, quote the Declaration a bit, sort of work, you know, I agree.
I just think there would have been, or just, you know, appeal to people's, you know, moral values in some fashion. Right. I mean, like that, if you're going to lay back, that's the way to lay back, it seems to me. Keep reminding people that, you know, raising the idea of moral values so that people get the idea of like, oh, yeah, he's despicable. And
right.
But and then there was other things like, you know, this is all critique from, you know, these undecided voters. I think they should all be. I think if anybody's undecided now, they really should. I don't know. I don't, you know.
Yeah, I think you maybe should just sort of turn in your citizenship card at this point.
The, you know, her stuff on Syria's, I find disturbing, like the Russian, the no fly zone just seems ridiculous to me. You know, we didn't hear much about policy per se at all. I mean, it seemed to me, I mean, the fact that we didn't hear anything about climate change, the fact that we didn't hear that much when it came to energy about renewables or a specific plan. I mean, I think, you know, I guess,
well, you know,
it is what it is, right?
Well, and I think there were times when I think that she tried to bring it back there. But, you know, he would go off on these rants. And again, you know, he's always being graded on a curve, so to a certain degree.
Right.
You say, oh, well, he knew some things. And look, I said it at the beginning, I'm even grading him on a curve. I mean, he actually had a few moments where he knew actual names of people and things that happened and didn't get them wrong, even though he couldn't seem to stay very consistent with how many emails that she'd erased. I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah, well, you said
33,000 to 39,000, back to 33,000 again.
Just the thing, though, to give a sense of like how low the bar is, okay? He basically announced that if he becomes president, somehow he's going to put her in jail, right? Like, that's A, that's not how our justice system works in this country, right? Like, he's going to instruct the Justice Department to press charges against her?
Yeah, I think you're going to see some stuff about that in the coming days.
I
wouldn't be surprised if you see some constitutional lawyers writing about it. I mean, there are a lot of people, media people, whatever I saw on Twitter, and people who are pretty horrified by that.
I mean, do you remember just like 6 weeks ago when people were saying, or four weeks ago, like, can you believe that Chris Christie stood on stage while they yelled, lock her up? Well, yep. The candidate in a debate just said, lock her up. It's just he used more words and basically wasn't even asking the authorities to do it. He said he was going to do it.
Right. And that's why I feel like he's going to pay a bigger price in coming days for some of the stuff set up there. Because a combination, I think, you know, the media loves the internal disarray story. There were rumors floating around tonight that Pence was going to jump off the ticket. Then Pence sent out a tweet congratulating Trump.
Oh, really?
You mentioned what's going on. Yeah, then you mentioned what was going on with Kellyanne. You know, there's all this instability around there. They love these kinds of stories. My guess is you're going to have a lot of column inches filled with what's going on with all that stuff in the coming days. And what he said in the debate didn't help that. It's actually going to spark more of that. You know, which is fine. Pence is still there tonight. Will he be there tomorrow? Will he be there in a couple of days? And so that's one sort of thing. But again, another one is what he did in terms of, you know, saying that he was going to prosecute her. I mean, again, I was watching pretty closely on Twitter. I mean, there were constitutional lawyers chiming in. There were media people chiming in. And again, these were not like lefties. You know what I mean? These were a combination of some of them were conservatives, some of them were various sort of mainstream media types who are like, you know, we don't do that. That's not our democracy. That's not how it works here. I mean, you know, that should be the story. And I mean, I can't tell you, I know that some people say like this has to be the story in the coming days that he did that. Because that's still a line that we're not supposed to cross. So, you know, there were enough of those moments. I'd say the three that jump out at me, those two moments. You know, I may be pulling a Rick Perry and forgetting the third one.
Well, the one where he said, I disagree with Mike Pence and I haven't talked to him.
Oh, yeah, that was one of them. The disagree with Pence, that's what I'm saying. That was one of them going after Hillary. And there was another one where he sort of came out and said something that was just sort of weird or off, you know, where I was like, well, are you kidding me? But you know, I guess it's hard to remember with him because there's so much of that. So, I mean, you know, which at the time I was like, really? So I think some of that stuff is going to be people are going to pay attention to in coming days. I think reporters are going to write about them. And again, like that. Well, I think this is the third thing I was thinking of, which is the sort of flat out denial that he had said, look at the sex tape. I mean, right. The guy lies about lots of things, but this is something that we spent a whole week on. This tweet was all over the news, right? Everywhere. I mean, how many people probably one of the most viewed tweets of all time,
right?
At this point. And he still claimed he never sent that. I'd be shocked if that doesn't become part of the narrative of his sort of obsessive serial dishonesty, that he can't even be honest on something like that, where it's like, how can you not know that everybody is going to know you're lying and you're still lying?
I mean, look, the Clinton has the benefit here of, I think, a broadly speaking, a media that feels like it is a poor reflection on us that Donald Trump is the Republican nominee. And I think they're probably right. But I think it is. All things being equal, it is possible to imagine the press like helping him out more. Now, I'm watching CNN right now, and they just came out with
possible with them.
Right, they just came out with a poll of debate watchers, and Clinton won by quite a big margin. People thought that Clinton did better than they expected, 39% worse by 26%, same 34%. It was they expected Trump to do better than he did. I mean, I don't know who these people are either. You know,
this is a poll they took, like, of people they called who watched it at home.
I don't know. But here's the point. The point is, oh, wait, here's Kellyanne Conway. Should we listen to this? I'd be interested.
Let's listen.
Can we? I don't know if we can do that, right? Because,
well, you can listen if you want to listen quickly. If she says anything useful,
I don't know if I can plug this in because I don't think we have a sound thing, right? Let's see if I could. All right, hold on, Cliff. You won't be able to hear me, but you'll be able to hear her. Hold on.
We know it's our sweet spot because Donald Trump is out there every single day engaging with voters. He loves that. He's at the rallies. He's at the smaller form roundtables. He's at his own town halls. He clearly won the debate tonight. Why? Because if you watched anybody's shows this whole weekend, we've just been left for dead. It's all over. Why even show up? Will there be a debate or people jumping ship? He came here to play tonight, and he came here to take the case right to Hillary Clinton and to show Americans this race is still what it's always been. Past versus future, politician versus successful businessman, Washington insider versus disruptor, and he made that case very clearly. He did not back down.
Kellyanne, I want to ask you about what he said at the beginning of the debate. More than one time, he referred once again to what he said on that tape as locker room talk. You're his campaign manager, the only woman at the head of that campaign. What did you think when you saw and you heard that? Truthfully, what was your reaction?
My initial reaction was very close to what Melania Trump said. I was offended, and I think the language is offensive and disgusting, and I'm also very happy that he apologized. I'm glad that he holds himself, accountable, because I look at the full measure of people, what they've said, what they've done, Dana, and how they deal with adversity that comes to them. And Donald Trump is absolutely correct. These are words compared to actions, and he made that very clear tonight that Hillary Clinton blaming and shaming the women in
All right, Cliff. Well, it's quite clear Kellyanne's back on board. It is interesting to me that nobody's saying that that Trump never tried to inoculate himself. You know, I would imagine that if they had thought about it, Trump would have started off by saying, "Look, there could be other tapes. I've had my time. I've changed. I'm better now. I'm much more focused on America.
The biggest tapes in the world.
I think Clinton could have said at the beginning, like, look, we're going to probably talk about other things besides that tape tonight because this is going to be a long debate. And I don't want people to think, though, by us talking about those other things that we're dealing with a normal situation here. And just sort of planted these, stakes in the ground so that, nobody really sort of like framed this debate as anything.
I agree.
I think there was a sense that everybody sort of went in and just like, I think Trump, tried to make it about other things, and that it just sort of, when it all was a stalemate, they ended up talking about, taxes. And as if Trump actually had some policies. And so I don't know. That was we'll see in the coming days. But
it'll be interesting. I mean, I think we all have to remember also that this whole thing with this tape that's had saturation coverage. Granted, it was over a weekend and a holiday weekend, so not to as many people potentially, but saturation coverage starting on, Friday was it?
Mm-hmm.
None of the polls have reflected that yet.
Right.
She's been pulling ahead of him. It always lags by 3 to 5 days, sometimes even more. So she's been pulling ahead of him, to the point of where she's now up by somewhere between 5.5, 6 points and gone back ahead in basically every swing state. I mean, even I think she had in Ohio, I think she has in Iowa, and Arizona has become a toss-up. And this has all happened based upon his going after Miss Universe his first debate performance and then that major story that got some saturation coverage on the taxes that was a week ago.
Yeah.
Like, none of his other stuff's been factored in yet. So even what these numbers are, you know, just the way that what happened in this debate isn't going to be factored into the equation, you know, for about 4 or 5 days from now at least.
Right.
Until people are done talking about it, unless something big happens that just wipes it off the map, which could, as we know. So that's another thing to keep in mind, is that I don't think we're going to know how this debate affected things in the next few days, because I think we're going to start seeing in the polling the fallout from the tape. And I don't think that tape's going anywhere either.
What I thought was interesting, too, that Trump did not hit Clinton on was the WikiLeaks email dump. I mean, at one point in the WikiLeaks, I mean, there was a lot of things in there.
He mentioned it. He said something about WikiLeaks. You're right. I don't think he took enough time to learn the details.
I don't think he did either. Like, for instance, when she started talking about letting Muslims into this country, right? I mean, this, you know, and one of the things in the WikiLeaks thing was she supposedly admitted that they can't vet everyone well. Now, it was in the context of talking about, you know, relative to a country like, let's say, Jordan, that we didn't have the capacity to let in 1 million refugees or 500,000 refugees,
right,
and whatnot. But that would have been something you would have expected him to manipulate. When she, in the WikiLeaks things, talked about open borders and basically a totally free flow of, I don't know, she didn't say capital. I think she used a different word. I mean, maybe she also meant labor. I doubt it, but, you know, whatever. He could have said that, like, this is, you know, Agenda 21 or whatever it is. There was a lot of stuff they, you know, I think it was just, they don't have a campaign. And they just, you know, communicating that stuff and getting that stuff to him in time wasn't going to happen. Tell me, have you looked at any of those WikiLeaks stuff? Is there stuff in there that you find problematic? I know the big thing that's getting play is that she said she has policies that are in private and in public, but she addressed that tonight with the Lincoln stuff.
Yeah, she does have the Lincoln stuff. I don't think that was the perfect way to address it either. To me, my take on that was always just that sometimes it's like with diplomacy. There are some things that you just can't say in public that you have to say in private, and that's because there are sort of sometimes there are negotiations going on that, and those negotiations are you know, can be affected by the slightest thing. That's the way I thought. I mean, you know, it's hard to know, right?
Well,
but, I mean, and maybe she was talking about something as simple as some domestic policy, and then it would bother me a lot more. I didn't sort of get that from it. But I didn't think the that's what I, at least what I would have said if I was her, certainly. I don't think the, you know,
and
the,
I thought,
the way that she...
And I thought, like, the part where she was talking about, there was one segment where she talks about, like, you know, I grew up middle class, but I basically lost touch with that.
Yes, that's
and,
something
but
I would have gone after.
She at least had the self-awareness to realize she's lost touch with it. I mean, I don't think that's such a big part. I mean, she spoke highly of Simpson Bowles. That didn't necessarily surprise me. And I would imagine, like, you know, there was a good percentage of Democratic senators. The president, obviously, was in favor of it. So at that time, that was it. But, you know, the thing that I get from that, too, is that, like,
I know this well from, you know, this isn't making excuses. She was on the wrong side of that, as were a bunch of people. But sadly, before, you know,
Erskine Bowles was a Clinton chief of staff.
By legislators, right, and issue groups and all sorts of stuff. That was the conventional wisdom, even for a lot of Democrats, you know?
All of this, I mean, if you actually, like, do the timeline, the one thing that comes clear, from my perspective, is that she is imminently movable. And
yes, she is.
Now it may be, it's also conceivable. And, you know, this is, I think, a legitimate concern that she She is still that person who wants to implement Simpson bowls, you know, but is saying that she's not. But I think it's just more likely, like, she just goes where, you know.
I think she's got a basic center-left orientation, and within that, there's a lot of room as to where she will go based upon what, you know, where the power is, where the energy is, you know, where the grassroots are. And we're, you know, and I've been saying that for a long time. I think we're all in a much better position to make that happen. And what I do like about her, and Dave, that was brought up in the debate tonight, is she was very good at bringing people together and actually sitting down and getting legislators to do things. There is an art to that, you know what I mean? And there is an ability to get people to convince people that it's in their interest to come to your side who might not always be there. So, you know, it's up to us to get her to the point of being on the left. But then, and on some things, I think she's always shown more of an inclination to be further to the left. And some things she's got a much more centristy kind of inclinations. But I think the pressure can get her there. I really do.
Well, either way, I mean, that's, you know, there were definitely moments tonight where, you know, and I'm sure there are people who have these feelings of like, it would be just so awesome to have, you know, Bernie Sanders or someone like that who is just sort of like taking all of this oxygen and using it to promote a much more progressive vision. I mean, not like the bottom line is when they get in office, it's really just about judges and, you know, and regulators, essentially. And I think there would be a difference, but not necessarily a massive difference, depending on the area.
How the election turns out has a lot to do with it, too. You know,
right.
I mean, if the bottom does fall out, you know, and again, we've learned enough to know that there's so much out there on Trump that anything could happen on any day. And I still think, again, I don't think this tape is close to done yet.
Right. Well, in 2006, people should keep in mind, and I've said this before, you know, like the reason why the Democrats won, took the House in 2006 was Mark Foley. Covered it. There was definitely,
I remember it well,
they were definitely teed up because
September,
of the war.
And Democrats were only favored to take, a couple seats. I mean, you know, they're going to win some seats, but they'd been created the whole culture of corruption thing to go after Tom DeLay and his behavior and other stuff. And then the Mark Foley thing played right into that.
Totally.
And the fact that a bunch of them knew that Foley was doing this and had not.
And I can't remember, it was like the whip.
Of course, Denny Hastert, shockingly.
The whip up in, I've mentioned this before, I think it was up in Buffalo. He was the whip. I can't remember his name now. But I remember he came out and did a press conference. The first press conference he did after it came out about Foley, who, for people who don't know, Foley...
Was it Reynolds?
Maybe it was Tom Reynolds or something. I can't remember.
I feel like it was... Okay, go ahead.
And Mark Foley was accused of basically being a predator for some pages. And the Republican leadership knew about it, did nothing about it. So if it was Reynolds, I can't remember who it was, came out. He knew he was going to get questions about this. He surrounded himself on a stage with children from ages like 5 to like 12, surrounded it supposedly to promote some type of program they were doing locally. And the reporters were there going like, did you put all these children out there so that we couldn't ask you a question about this? And and he was like, what are you talking about? And that I remember that, like the sense of outrage that created was insane. And so, and that happened
and
right around now,
drip,
if I remember correctly.
The Jack Abramoff thing was going on then too.
Yep. So we'll see. I mean, it could
we
be.
We will. I mean, again, people forget that these things can break in a hard way, like at any moment. And again, I just think this was a sort of a break in things and a bit of a respite, but I'm still interested to see what continues to come out and how some of the other Republicans handle it. I mean, you know, in a way, as you point out, he at least solidified things a bit tonight. So your Ayotte's and McCain's, who the hell knows what they're going to do?
Well, now here's the interesting thing. Now they're on the wrong side of it. A day ago when they rescinded their endorsement, they were on the right side of it. But now they're on the wrong side of it because they're going to have voters who could be more angry at them, their own Republican voters, who could be more angry at the turncoats than so they could just theoretically go in and vote for Trump and not the down ticket races.
That's true. That would be interesting. Look, I think that's always been a potential problem, and I think that's why they've so many of them have been so wimpy about this from the beginning. I mean, look, the Trump base is a core base of their party, whether they like it or not. You know, the party that they chose to be members of, whether they played a role in it or not, or they just happened to be there, this party has spent years, you know, courting further and further extreme members of who are racist and xenophobic and all the rest. We've gone over this a million times, and it's gotten worse and worse. And they're, you know, that was inevitable at some point that they're going to lose control to some of these guys, and they have. I kind of looked at it as they should have done the courageous thing, because you'd like to hope that some people in politics are actually human beings. You know what I mean? And I think a few people have done that. And, you know, there have been a few Republicans who are going to, I think, be in a much worse position electorally because they've chosen to stand up. There haven't been that many, but there have been a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
But these other ones are just, they're doing what they're completely doing, going with wherever they think the wind is blowing.
Yep.
You know, and I think they always looked at it and probably rightly looked at it and said, I'm going to lose more by going against Donald Trump right now because that's the base of my party.
And let's hope that wind keeps swirling around from side to
side.
Exactly. Cliffy, thank you so much for staying
up
late tonight. We've had double doses of you. Friday, this is back to back. I don't know if we've ever done this.
Wow, too much of me. Be careful, dude.
Michael tried to drop in a little Trump. But
I did. Well, hopefully it'll be done in a couple weeks.
All right. So, Cliff, we'll talk to you again on Friday. And then the week after, we're both going to be in Vegas. And we're going to do some debate coverage.
That's right.
We got to work that out. I don't know how I'm going to go about doing that. We'll have to see. But
we'll figure it out.
All right.
It's going to be fun.
Cliff, thanks so much for your time tonight. Really appreciate it, buddy. It was great to meet your family the other day.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. They had a great time. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on tonight, man.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Cliff Schechter. Staying up late, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so just a reminder. Oh, okay, two things. One, we're going to put another 15, 20 minutes on the end of this podcast. It's going to be a long one, I guess. We did some of the sound. I mean, obviously, it was a lot of news over the weekend, and we're not going to be live on Monday. We'll be back live on Tuesday, hopefully reporting on another great Trump hit videotape.
I am really sorry that I said that Puerto Ricans were subhuman, but it's locker room talk, and things happen in locker room.
I was almost sure there was no tape of me saying the N-word. I was almost sure.
I assured everyone around me, including
it's
my daughter,
plantation
in
talk.
A postcardal cigarette, that there was no tape of me using the N-word. But apparently there is, so I apologize to her.
Simple.
And I guess the black people, too. They love getting apologized to.
Here's the
thing
about show business, okay? That people don't understand. When you're a star, people expect you to talk that way. It's simple Hollywood. It's like in Hollywood, it's all a locker room, but it's not like the kind of locker. It's just a different type of locker room. We got a lot of locker rooms. But I've realized as I've traveled the country that we should have less locker rooms. Smaller, more insulated.
Smaller locker rooms.
No cameras or recording devices in the locker rooms.
It's just,
that's the first thing.
It's just you think you're on an Access Hollywood bus with a crew of people and Billy Bush, and you think, I'm in a private setting. There's no way that this would ever come out or be recorded or documented in any fashion.
You've got a microphone on, and you're just saying these things, but you're in Hollywood. And in Hollywood, that's the way it works.
You know what I really hope is that there is a slew of other...
Everybody talks about it.
...disgusting tapes that get released, and they're racist, and they're anti-Semitic, they're everything imaginable, and Billy Bush is his sidekick for every single one of them. Yes. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Fucking black guy. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Fucking kike.
Selling mangoes on the street. Look at that, Donald.
He's got Operation Wetback, am I right?
All right. Well, we're going to talk about those tapes and more. For those people who didn't catch this live, we're going to tack it on right now. Hey, just a reminder, this program exists only because of our members. So if you want to support this program and become a member, we give you extra stuff to listen to every day. But even if we didn't, become a member, support the program. You know, we give, we give, we give. So become a member today at jointhemajorityreport.com. Jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Also, if you buy crap from Amazon, you buy it from Jet, buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com, we get a kickback. You'll notice no difference. You bookmark that link, you buy that stuff from all that time. Like I say, you'll notice no difference, but we get a kickback. So majorityreportkickback.com. All right, here is, we're going to go right, we'll take a little musical break and then go right into that stuff. Okay. And we'll see you live on Tuesday. Is a special news event report on a special news event. The debate number two of the presidential campaign 2016 is tonight. It's going to be a total crap show. It has already become a total crap show. It has mutated in from a total complete crap show into a beyond crap shit show. Let's face it.
Not good.
We're starting a little bit early because there's been quite a bit of news over the past 36 hours.
That new Medicare report that you were freaking out about over the weekend.
Yes. I found out something very important about the third tier of predictions in the Social Security Trust Fund report. As you know, there are three tiers of projections as to the health of the Social Security Trust Fund. There is an A scenario, a B scenario, and a C scenario, all of which make different assumptions of projected growth. No, this is not what that's about. So after we were done on Friday, the tape came out of Donald Trump, and then Republicans started to jump ship. Then Paul Ryan got heckled. Then they all froze and didn't know what to do. Then, sometime around then, Hillary Clinton's transcripts, supposedly from her... You got to fix your mic because I'm getting the typing.
Nice.
Transcripts, partial transcripts that were in emails written amongst the Clinton campaign people have been released. Presumably, they're accurate. They haven't been confirmed by the Clinton campaign, but I think for the most part, that's probably just to sort of not allow them to sort of blanket sign off on all of it. I think it's probably accurate. Those broke. We'll talk about those. And then just 15 minutes ago, we got a sense from Donald Trump of which way he's going with this. And it's the way...
Big league.
Big league.
The issues.
He just... He just had a press conference with Juanita Broderick, who claims to have been raped by Bill Clinton in 1978.
What?
I believe it was 78. The woman who, was she the survivor of the rape?
So Hillary Clinton apparently defended an accused rapist of a 12-year-old when she was on some type of public defense, presumably, maybe right. Pro bono. And she got the guy off. The victim was 12 years old. And then there was a tape that was released of Hillary Clinton. I don't know what it was for. It was with a friend. I don't know if it was some type of archive. I don't know the origin of it. But it is confirmed. It is her. It's a real tape. And she's sort of, you know, she's basically laughing on the tape about getting the guy off and saying that, of course, he was guilty and all the rest. I mean, I'm not trying to go into like hyper spin mode, but I think there's some element of like, you know, doctors have a particular kind of humor. Police may be talking a particular way. It was sort of like I've heard other people that do law maybe speak in similarly really cavalier sounding ways. But it's a terrible sounding tape. And yes, okay. That woman was up there.
So she was up there. And I think there was one other woman who was up there who had accused Bill Clinton of, and I don't think rape, maybe assault or trying to hit on her or whatnot. So, I mean, that's where we are. But let's catch up with some of this sound. So the story that has given the excuse to the Republican Party to begin to attempt to abandon Donald Trump is follows. And the reason why I say it this way is because the fact is that Donald Trump was bleeding support over the past 2 weeks since the first debate. It is quite clear that the trends were heading in a direction where Hillary Clinton was going to, where there was strong reason to believe that Hillary Clinton was going to win. The projections went from anywhere from a 75% chance to like a 95% chance and trending away from Donald Trump. Basically, people had hit peak Trump. So this, despite the fact that this is a man who called Mexicans, well, not all of them, but most of them rapists who are coming over here, some, I assume, some, are good people,
some,
he said.
Be fair.
I mean, the litany goes on and on and on.
Being
I mean,
very unfair to me, Rachel Maddow.
You know, telling his supporters to beat on protesters, cover. I mean, honestly, we could spend hours for all the other offenses that were equally offensive. This, though, the only thing I will say about this tape, and we'll talk about it on the other side, but this is the one that allowed those people, particularly those senators who are struggling for their seats or congressmen who are trying to establish their bona fides on the right, who got the credit. You know, poor Ted Cruz did it like the opposite way. Ted Cruz handled this the way that I handle blackjack. Where, like, I know that if I've got a 12 and the dealer's got a 12, it could go either way. The book says either way, hit or... But the point is, you always do it the same way. And instead, I would go with my intuition, and I choose the wrong way each way, so I don't even get the law of averages. That's basically what Ted Cruz has done. So that's what we've seen. But here it is. Now, let me tell you what this footage is. Having done... as a director and as a executive producer and as an actor, but more so on the production side, many, many shoots similar to this with a handheld camera, people with lavalier mics off in the distance. I can tell you that when I directed I'm with Busey, we had stuff like this all the time. All the time. Mics on, little switch. It's a couple hours into a shoot. The guy who's mic'd doesn't realize he's mic'd. And it really just depends on, you know, how much the people there. I imagine some of these people probably didn't like Billy Bush, who is the host.
He seems so likable.
And they said, keep it. You know, that the producer said to the sound guy, keep it rolling. I want to hear this. And then it was stored somewhere. I could tell you right now, this happened in 2005. I directed I'm with Busey in 2003. It would take me an hour to find the stuff from Busey. And I know five guys who could find it too. So this is not that much of a surprise. So what you're seeing is a bus that's coming in. The cameraman has already been set up to get Donald Trump coming off the bus. That's the plan shot. There's a couple of probably program people in the bus, and Billy Bush, who is the host of whatever it is. What is this? Access Hollywood. One of the Bush cousins. And you're hearing the audio in there. Let's let this roll.
And she used to be very, she's still very beautiful.
I moved on her, actually. You know, she was down in Palm Beach. I moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and fuck her. She was married.
That's huge news, Sarah.
Oh, no, Nancy. Yeah. No, this was marriages. And I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I took her out furniture. I moved on her like a bitch. But I couldn't get there. And she was married. And all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony tits and everything. She's totally changed her look.
She's your girl's hot as shit in the purple.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
Oh, yes, the Donald is good.
Whoa.
Oh, my man. Wait, you got to look at me when you get out of
here. Pause it for one second. That's Billy Bush. The yes, your girl's. Let me tell you something. That guy, if that guy works on television again on a non-like sleazy, you know, like, I mean, I could see, I
to
think
catch a predator.
Yeah.
Reboot?
I mean, honestly, no, that's too good for him.
Yeah.
This guy, what a scumbag he is too.
Until the end, he comes off worse.
In all fairness, he was only 35 at the time.
That's exactly right.
I mean, so
as Matt and I were telling you,
at
free
35,
range to at least
boy,
35.
You still are learning some of the basic things about how to treat people.
Not
to,
oh, shoddy shit.
Donald. I mean, the level of mutual ass kissing, like the sycophant, this relates, so gross.
It's disgusting.
So gross. All right, continue.
You give me the thumbs up.
You are a piece.
You got to put the thumbs up. You got to get the thumbs up.
Okay.
Can't be too
can
happy.
Can
you
first?
Yeah, let me.
It's very funny.
You
got to
give me the thumbs up.
You and I will walk in.
So you had it open? You have chat open?
Oh, my God.
So I have a collision.
Maybe it's a different one.
Better not be the publicist. No, it's her. It's
yeah, that's her. With the gold. I got to use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
Look at those legs. All I can see is the legs.
No, it looks good.
Come on, shorty.
Oh, nice legs, huh?
Oof, get out of the way, honey. That's good legs. Go ahead.
Pause it. What are they doing in the bus? Like, honestly, like, when I hear two guys talk like this, I think these guys are not attracted to women. I just think that, like, yeah, they're literally just like, oh, those legs go way up to her face. Like,
they have vaginas and everything.
Yeah,
just
I mean, there's
hot.
Just something so weird about this. And then the guy's yelling at this woman walking by, like, dude, don't ruin my view.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Are these guys
get
masturbating on a cookie in that bus or something? All right, continue.
It's always good if you don't fall out of the bus. Like Ford, Gerald Ford, remember?
Down below. Pull the hell.
Hello, how are you? Hi.
Mr. Trump, how
nice
are you?
Seeing you. Terrific.
Nice to meet you.
Terrific. You know Billy Bush?
Hello, how are
nice
you?
To see you. How are you doing, Ariane?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Are you ready to be a soap star?
We're ready. Let's go. Make right. me a soap star.
How about absolutely. A little hug for the Donald? You just got off the bus.
Like a little
okay,
hug,
absolutely. Melania
a little
said
hug
this
for the
was
bushy.
Okay.
I just got off the bus.
Bushy.
There we go. Excellent. Well, you've got a nice co-star here.
Good.
Yes. Absolutely.
After you. Come on, Billy. Don't be shy.
As soon as a beautiful woman shows up, he takes
get over here.
All right, hold on. Pause it for one more second. I got to comment on this thing. Okay, this is the part, too, about with Trump coming out of the bus. Like, you know, we're hearing a lot about Clinton saying that you've got to have a policy that you discuss in private, and sometimes you've got to say things differently in public. And which, I personally, I don't find that shocking, but that she would say it or that's the case with politicians, period. But what we just saw with Donald Trump is that he's actually worse in private than he is in public. But also, we saw, like, you can watch. Like, here they are talking about, like, grabbing this woman's pussy and, you know, I'm going to kiss her and this and that. And then he walks out. It's that is to me the most creepy, the creepiest moment.
It's incredibly creepy.
And then when Billy Bush is like, oh, let me see if I can get the Donald a hug. That to me is just like, man, what a bunch of losers.
Well, we've been desensitized almost, I feel like, by this. Like when I first watched it, I got physically ill at that point. It literally was disgusting.
All right, let's just watch the rest. I mean, this is just sycophant stuff.
I'm sorry. Come here.
Let the little guy in there.
Come on. Let the little guy in. How you feel now? Better? I should actually.
It's hard to walk next to a guy like this. Yeah, you get in the middle. There we go.
Good. That's better.
This is much better. This is.
That's better.
Now, if you had to choose, honestly, between one of us, me or the Donald.
I don't know. That's tough competition.
Right there. Yeah. Seriously. You had to take one of us as a date.
You have to take a fifth on that one.
Really?
Yep. I'll take both.
Which way?
Make it right. Here we go. Goodbye.
By both, I mean neither.
Right.
Here he goes. I'm going to leave you here.
Okay.
Get my microphone.
Okay. You're going to... Oh, you're finished?
You're my man. Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm going to go do our show.
Oh, you want to reset? Okay.
Okay, so they're resetting now, and they have other cameras probably that are doing it. This guy is a Bush relative. And, I mean, have they interviewed the woman yet? Have they interviewed this woman? I mean, you can tell what's going through her head. It's just like, oh, these guys are both dicks.
She knows it.
Is there,
she has zero doubt.
With, like,
is there a more sort of notable artifact of rape culture, like, in actual society than this? Like, I don't know what the like a media artifact of that actually caught in the wild. Like, it's got to top it, right?
It's disturbing. I'm not terribly surprised that Donald Trump and I've talked about, like, I imagine, did we talk about this afterwards yesterday? Friday. Have been. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've had guys who said stuff to me where you're just like, what? You don't even know me. Like, why would you just presume that you could say those type
of
things?
Well, you know, Sam, some of them look past the point that you look like a lesbian literature professor, and they give you the benefit of a doubt that you might actually be a man. Like when I first met you, and I said, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. It's like a magnet. It's unbelievable. I need Tic Tacs. Because if you've been to Rabbit Island, they'll let you do. I mean, you can kiss them, grab them by the pussy, whatever. It's true. It's really true.
I just am always...
Oh, my God, like, she's hot as shit.
Just always, like, when I meet... And I've met guys who will say that. Like, I mean...
Have you actually met a guy who said anything specifically as bad as that? Because I've heard
all sorts of
gross shit. I have never heard anything as specifically as bad as that.
No, and I think they're part of that is probably also a function of, like, you know, Donald Trump has an incredible amount of narcissism, and he's surrounded by sycophants. I'm not surrounded by people like that. So,
witness, you know, 10 seconds ago.
Right. So I don't have people who are like...
That's so funny.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not mad.
Imagine we should
but,
do it.
But like
we
I
should
say,
do a trial
I was at a,
run,
I was at a bar
see what happens
with
to you.
With a guy who worked at Air America, who I had met for the first time at that bar, introduced. The guy said, I can't, it was just like a really nasty, sexist joke.
Do you fully not remember it?
I sort of do. It was something like the effect of like literally, it was a complete non sequitur. It's like, what's up? Hey, how's it going? Pretty good. Yeah, maybe I think one of the guys said, where's your wife? I said, oh, she's, you know, taking care of my or something. And then he said, just out of the blue, this guy was a financial guy what is the three things man needs to live? I'm like, I don't know. He goes, pussy, strange pussy, and strange pussy.
It shocks me that Air America did not have a turnaround under his leadership. This sounds like a brilliant man.
I just looked at him. I was like, what?
Nice to meet you. I'm going to say something totally disgusting
I
now.
I thought, because I didn't get along particularly well with management, I thought, like, are they setting me up here?
Are they trying to record me or something? Like, what is that guy? What is he talking about? Like, I'm the host of a liberal talk radio show. What, like, who else would you not say that to?
It's 10:45 a.m. After we got through the actuarial tables, we have some ladies from Scores stop by. Sam Cedar here.
I mean, and it wasn't like, you know, like
aggressive talk, I have, aggressive babes.
I have a lot of friends who are comedians, and comedians say horrible, disgusting things, but they're all, I mean, for the most part, like done with a tremendous sense of irony. At least my friends.
Didn't sound ironic.
And no, he was not being, he was just, this is like the way that I think for this guy, it was like, this is how you bond with other guys. And I was just like, oh my God. And I was there with a guy who I knew from film. You know, it was more of like an artist, not a finance guy. And I just turned to him. I'm like, can you fucking believe this shit? And it was.
How did he respond after what he said just like landed there?
I don't think
he just. We like, just went by it. Like, yeah, but right. Drinks.
It's quite possible he walked off with the CEO at the time and just said, and like, man, what a pussy.
Let's reassign Cedar's time spot.
Yeah,
again.
Exactly. That dude's. He's not.
Fuck that guy.
That dude, not a team player. It's like Serpico.
Exactly what it's like.
It's like Serpico.
It's Serpico.
Yeah.
You know, Sam, you don't have to agree with the pussy comments, but we'd feel a lot more comfortable if you nod your head during them.
Just a little bit of cackling just to let the guys know that you think it's funny and like.
You don't got to make any yourself.
Just, you know, communicate that you're with us. We're all in this locker room together. That's all we're saying. It's unbelievable. So that's that. Now, what do you do if you're Kellyanne Conway and you've been brought on to try and rehabilitate Donald Trump's image with women? What do you do if you're Mike Pence and you're his VP? What do you do if you're anybody other than Rudy Giuliani? You try and avoid the media. But Rudy Giuliani, he doesn't give a single crap about it because he is already, he knows he's going to get work from Donald Trump going forward. He's probably got an apartment, something, right? I mean, something.
Oh, probably more.
Yeah. He's probably, for all we know, Rudy Giuliani is cheating on his now wife in a new apartment from Donald Trump. I'm just speculating. I have no idea. I have no reason to believe that other than past performance is sometimes an indicator of
everything he has done in his
right.
life.
But here is Rudy Giuliani on Meet the Press trying to make the point that Hillary has shown who she is behind closed doors, which is apparently a centrist Democrat who feels more comfortable with wealthy people, kisses up to banks.
Surprised you didn't put on bankers, breaking news music for this.
And and et cetera. But here is a Rudy Giuliani, and he has Chuck Todd has actually tied him in knots.
One thing he's not is what came across in WikiLeaks, and that is two people.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton actually specifically described that she's two different people. To the financial people who were given millions of dollars, she's on their side, and she wants them to be a big part of the government. But she tells them she has to pretend to everybody else that she isn't.
Well, and then what does that say? If you believe that Hillary Clinton says one thing in private, and that means what she really is what she is in private, should we assume what Donald Trump did in that Access Hollywood bus is really what Donald Trump is like in private? I mean, that's what you're implying here with Hillary Clinton.
You know, Chuck, the reality is that in both cases, both people have things in their personal lives that maybe if they could redo it, they would do it differently. And the reality is that this is a situation in which neither side should throw stones because both sides have sinned.
Oh, yeah. Right. Right. I don't even know what to say.
There's
I mean, at that point, Chuck Todd says, hey, speaking of sinned,
That was last week. We did that one.
Oh my God.
I was like, you really want to talk about this with all of your affairs? That was like, everyone's had affairs. Not everybody's committed rape that I know of. At least I haven't.
That I'm aware of.
That I'm aware of.
That I've
it depends how you define it now.
So there's a Rudy Giuliani giving it his best shot. And, you know, we're going to see some of that from Trump tonight. He's going to be talking about these tapes, hoping, I guess. I mean, to be totally honest with you, to the extent that these tapes are there's any supposed quality to them that might be forged, I would imagine that net, the Clinton people would put this out there as a way of indicating to right-leaning people, like, I'm more moderate than I claim to be. Like, you know, like, I don't know, there was stuff that I found problematic in these tapes, but only because they indicated what I've been saying about Clinton in terms of, like, her policies in the Middle East. I think that she's going to be worse from my perspective in terms of dealing with Israel. She is...
awful
she then Obama. She kowtows to big money. I mean, there are some things that were in that those tapes that were I was happy about.
She will also expose our funding of environmental movement.
There were tapes or were these were transcripts.
I mean, there was in her remarks to Deutsche Bank, she said, like, may not be 100% true that it's completely rigged, but it seems to be, at the very least, significantly true. I mean, there was a mix in there. She is basically who I think that I have definitely perceived her to be, which is someone who is bathed in that world and doesn't see outside of it.
And presents herself relatively honestly to the public. She's a centrist.
All right, we got to keep going.
Yeah, go to Paul Ryan.
All right, let's get to, well, here is this segment. Let's get to this, Paul Ryan, because here is, back in June, I tweeted out that my neighbor had asked me, when do the Republican leaders get some integrity and cut Trump off? And I responded to him in mid to late, I think it was mid-October, when he's down by double digits. We are at October 9th, and I believe that by October 15th, Donald Trump will be down 8 or 9 points, maybe 10. And then I think we'll see when the next tape comes out, we're going to see Paul Ryan cut and run. But here is why he cannot. And here is what, from day one, I've been saying about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is just a projection. He is just a shadow. The real thing is the Republican voters. And here they are in Wisconsin, a state that Donald Trump lost to Ted Cruz, with their Speaker of the House addressing them, who's also from Wisconsin. Listen to these people.
So I just want to say to all of you for Fall Fest, thank you for coming out and supporting us. I see so many friends. I see so many people who've been out there working hard for us. Thank you so much for working for us. Thank you so much. And I want to ask Ron Johnson and Scott Walker to come out here. We got to remember, Ron Johnson is the man that we have to vote for. We as conservatives are offering solutions. This is exactly what we will do here in Wisconsin. We will deliver our 10 electoral votes. We will fight for our conservatives. And we will offer this country solutions. And we will meet the moment for what it is. Thank you for coming out for Fall Fest, everybody. Thank you so much, you guys. God bless you all. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Shame on you. And there's the big W. What the fuck are we doing up here? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Cucks.
Who was it? There was another guy, Hogan, right? A Republican congressional guy. Was it Hogan or something like that? Who also took a lot of grief. Here is, just so we can also talk about how insane the past like 48 hours have been leading up to. When was the last time you ever saw on the news this type of, I mean, people got a little bit annoyed with Crossfire. This is, I want you to look at the expressions on the people's faces here as this goes, this is just, this is great. This is in response to Donald Trump's hostage tape that he released at 12 midnight on Friday night, saying that he was wrong. I apologize, but Bill Clinton's worse. Here it is.
Anna, can I just say that this
Anna, quickly, I have to get to break. I'll bring you guys back, but go ahead.
All this shaming of each other on TV, really, let's not do this, guys. Yeah. None of us are on the ballot. The people that are on the ballot are Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and we are judging Donald Trump.
If you choose to believe him,
if you choose to make excuses for him, that's your choice. That's your choice. My choice is to consider him a disgusting man who has consistently disgusted me from the first day of this campaign. And I think that every single Republican is going to have to answer the question, what did you do the day you saw the tape of this man boasting about grabbing a woman's pussy? Period.
Okay. All right. Well,
Will you please stop saying that word? My daughter is listening.
Yeah, you know what, Scotty? You know what, Scotty? Don't tell me you're offended when I say pussy, but you're not offended when Donald Trump says
it.
I'm not running for president.
Over and over
he is.
Yes. And I said I'm offended by Donald Trump.
Okay, so then don't act outraged and offended when I say the word that you're not offended by the man who you are supporting is saying. That is just absurd.
I said I was offended by him saying that, too.
We'll be right back.
Is that Bob Beckel?
That's Bob Beckel.
Bob Beckel, they dragged out of blood.
God, it's great.
I can't believe it. I've wanted to see it on TV for years and I am.
I've been shaving pussy for a long time, and I need a drink, but it's not good. And now all of a sudden you got this Hispanic lady, and she's just going, pussy, pussy, pussy. And I'm saying, I need a margarita. And the gay black guy isn't holding it together. But he's a disgrace. It's true. And the Chinaman will win.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My daughter's listening.
Anna Navarro.
I don't want to hear you say that, but I just want the guy who we're talking about to be president. Because I care about my daughter. Oh, my God.
They have bigger things to worry about.
All right. Here is... Corey Lewandowski, who, as you know, is on the Trump payroll. Is he still getting paid by Trump? I get confused. He's getting paid by Trump and by CNN. Whatever.
Well, it's severance.
Oh,
so severance. I don't know why they had to keep letting the severance play out for months and months and months, but it seems like that's the way it was set up.
Set up that way. So here's Corey Lewandowski. Upset that Reince Priebus, who at first I think came out for Trump and then realized where this was going, and it basically told their victory fund to just slow their roll for a minute. We need to see I need to put my fingers up in the air a little bit to get a sense of where the wind's blowing after this debate as to whether or not we're going to pretend like we're offended enough to stop working for him and work for other people or not. So
yeah, what the Christ.
Here is Corey Lewandowski. He's mad. He's mad at Reince Priebus.
Morning Consult poll, the poll that was just conducted post the release of this tape, 74% of the Republicans that were polled say, we're not leaving Donald Trump. You know who's leaving?
That's right.
The weak, feckless leadership of the Republican Party is who's leaving. The people who live in...
Well, you're making the David versus Goliath
that's
argument.
Exactly what it is. Yeah. Donald Trump walked outside of Trump Tower yesterday and was absolutely mauled by the people who want to support him. I have seen it firsthand across this country, in every state in the country. And you know what I saw yesterday, and I continue to see today? Weak elected leaders who want to put their own political interests first. Reince Priebus is a great example. Donna Brazile, tough as nails, would hold the Democratic Party together and held the Democratic Party together under the Clinton leadership and all the scandal that happened there. The Democrats all stuck together. You know what happens to the Republicans? We need an apology. Donald Trump makes an apology and say, we're leaving anyways. It's egregious. There is absolutely no...
So you say Ryan's is weak?
Yeah, absolutely. Not only is he weak, he's a failed leader. And on top of that, let me just tell you something. The American people are so tired of the people in Washington, D.C. telling them what to do. That's why they've stood. That's why Donald Trump beat all of the establishment, all of the people who were supposed to be the leaders of the party moving forward. Donald Trump beat them all. He got 14 million votes in the primary, and he's going to win the general
election. Let me ask you about Ryan.
Donald Trump.
Dude, why do you play that gay music every time you play a clip of me?
Here's what's going to happen. And now we might as well, I think, switch into our sort of debate coverage mode. What we're going to see, I think, tonight is Donald Trump go all in. I don't know what his other chances. I think he's going to start off, if he's smart, he starts off even before he answers the first question. He says, look, I want to get one thing off my chest. What I said was wrong. I'm horribly embarrassed about it. I've traveled. I've met people across this country. I've seen that it's bad to talk about grabbing women's pussies. And I don't think he's going to say quite like that. But he's going to say, like, I've seen
you
that I had a moment, sort of like a Joseph Smith moment when I...
regarding Henry moment.
I had a regarding Henry moment. And...
actually, quick question.
What?
Do you think that he not only does that in terms of what's already come out, but also indicates, like,
there's going to be more.
Thing.
There's going to be more. I've said things in the past over the years that were inappropriate. This is what he should do. Will he do this? I think probably. I think he's doing what one group of his advisors have said, and then he's going to do the other, which is then just go full on. And then the butt. I think it's basically we're going to see what we saw the other night. He's going scorched earth. And what he's going to do is he's going to force Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell to abandon him so that he can begin to blame the Republican Party establishment for his loss. That's what he needs to do. He needs to create that dynamic where it is... his loss is a function of the Republicans. all right, Michael, say something while I go live on Facebook.
I think that he's going to have to, he's definitely going to go scorched earth. He already had the press conference earlier with various women that have accused Bill Clinton of, various sexual misdeeds. And then also the woman who was apparently the victim of a rapist that Hillary Clinton got acquitted and then sort of later joked about it on a tape. I mean, I think that I agree with Sam that the only thing he can really do now is try to find a way of losing that doesn't hurt his brand and shifts the blame onto the Republican establishment. And I still think and maintain, I'm sure with everybody else in the room, that sets the stage for Trump TV. Which I think this is still where this is all going. And, and also I don't know if you should check Roger Stone's Twitter account because he will always game out where things are going. And I was looking at Roger Stone's Twitter account today and he was tweeting all sorts of stuff from a book that he had written about, Bill Clinton's supposed sexual crimes over a year ago. And so you could choreograph exactly what was going to happen. What do you guys think?
I think it's just amazing that it has gotten this far before they could do anything about it. Like, it's sort of I was talking about it on Friday night with a buddy of mine, that it's sort of like Trump sort of wavered and then looked like he could win in just the right amount. Like, his wobbles were not significant enough to cause anybody to bail, which is crazy, earlier than this, really, like, or the last couple of weeks at least. And then, like you could tell Republicans thought, oh, shit, maybe we can win this thing.
Yeah, they had a moment of like, you know what? I think he's doing okay. He hasn't said anything about how, like, black people have a different genetic structure and, or anything weird about Mexicans or Muslims for the last couple of weeks. And he's just sort of being like, somewhat of an odd narcissist. Maybe we can push this through. And then, of course, the first thing that exploded it was the I already forgot the woman's name, but the beauty queen.
Machado
that he freaked out about during the last debate. And now, I mean, obviously I don't see anywhere for him to recover from this. I think it's kind of amazing, though, because on a cultural level, we're having this whole, like, almost generations of sexual abuse accusations coming out and being processed. It's interesting.
Thank you very much. Well, I mean, there's a certain inevitability to it, right? I mean, the first...
totally inevitable, yeah.
Female president.
Lewis for hosting this debate, and also the Commission on Presidential Debates for sponsoring this. This is obviously a town hall
format tonight. Where's Jabari?
It's a chance for the Americans on this stage and thousands of
What do you think these two were thinking, like, holy cow, we struck pay dirt. This could be the most watched debate in the history of debates.
I couldn't imagine what else would be more watched than this in terms of debates.
70-some-odd million, about 70 million for the last one. I bet you this one's even bigger, maybe.
I think, what did Axelrod tweet it out, like, you know, concerns about a drop in ratings. Problem solved.
They're going to sit down now. Everyone is going to pause for a few minutes right now as they get ready for the formal introduction of the two
candidates. Oh, this could be awkward.
And it's a moment that will be historic.
Absolutely.
Big league.
In so many ways. I just have to point out.
In terms of, like, when she says historic in so many ways, what she's saying is, like,
for a long time.
This is, you remember the movie Network, right?
He walked in. He did not look
well,
comfortable.
You know, perhaps this is where the streams crossed, where the trajectory from that movie and reality just sort of blended in one.
Are now here.
And reality becomes more bizarre. Oh, the women are in the...
But they did not. There you see them now. They're sitting in the front row. But because
but that's not in the debate
format,
hall.
It's a town hall format. They're pretty far away from the stage. But if you just the
wow.
image of them
they're
sitting
in the
front
same
of the number
room.
Two yep. Democrat in the Senate, Dick Durbin, it's hard to wrap our minds
Look
around.
At what Bill sexually assaults and what Donald sexually assaults. Hashtag winning, make America great again.
Oh, you're not supposed to smile. I think that Trump's been, look, don't smile. Look really grave.
Broderick says Bill Clinton raped her. Back when he was the Arkansas Attorney General, Bill Clinton has denied these allegations. But just the drama of it, this is a presidential debate 30 days from Election Day. It's remarkable.
Jake Tapper, what are you looking for?
Well, this, the pressure's on Donald Trump, I have to say. He's really got to show the American people and show the
voters
that
a huge
he has
piece
the temperament
of pizza in my pants.
To be president, that he can address the issues of these town hall participants, that they care about health care, how to afford college.
These are new pants, too.
Classic Cedar. You got new pants?
You got new pants.
From where?
And really, I mean...
Banana? Banana?
A good debate performance last
time. Yeah.
And
Gap?
My ripstop
Old Navy?
He really needs to step
okay.
up and be the Donald
right.
Trump that his...
Oh, I always forget. Upper body's banana.
Everybody's
Carhartt.
That's right.
He can never be.
Well, that's the way that works. Although this is actually more
it is a moment, right
Old
now,
Navy.
Dana Bash, when we
I
wait
can see
for
that.
And Land's End.
Out, the
I'm sporting
the
everything.
Cardigan
I'm
is Land's End.
Everybody.
The cardigan is Land's End.
Do you know what a cardigan is?
How these two
no, I clearly don't.
A cardigan
oh,
is a button-up.
I mean, you remember yeah. it was just a few
this
days
This is a Father's Day present, actually, that I got from on Father's Day.
From who?
So is your next move your shoes?
What do you mean? These are new shoes.
Move on the shoes?
Those are relatively new shoes.
No slip.
They're no slip.
You know, Hillary Clinton
walking shoes.
Orthopedic.
So much.
They're not orthopedic. I didn't get them from my doctor.
Reminded me, as Secretary
Where
of State,
did you get them?
Town hall was kind of her preferred format.
A store.
So
I don't know.
She has to be probably more comfortable.
I like them. They were black
we're
and they had.
She's under pressure tonight. She's under pressure as well. Don't
all this jibber jabber. Look, nobody knows. The bottom line is like maybe there's something that could happen that.
The race right now. Many Republicans think it's over already.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is to change this race.
I think Donald Trump is just going to go all in and go out in a blaze
tonight,
of glory.
And of course,
I think he's peaked.
About the strategy to do that. Do you
he knows he's hit his peak, and now he's just going to take his people with him.
Apologize for that tape and then try to focus on issues? We're about to find out.
Yeah, he's going
to
focus on
really
issues because of all the issue work he's done in this campaign.
Trying to reach out to undecided voters tonight. It is literally probably about him trying to make sure that his own party doesn't abandon him in the way that matters the most right now, which is resources and manpower.
Pretty much all that I have left to do is bounce some checks to Kellyanne Conway and call Bill Clinton a rapist, so let's enjoy it.
I wonder if, like, some of those Republicans will rescind their rescindment of his endorsement if he does well.
He really... There's one thing I do want to say, and I don't know why I'm being overly charitable, but did you read John McCain's rescinding statement?
No.
The only thing that I have to say was distinct about it, and, you know, screw John McCain, that's fine. But he actually mentioned, he said there were two things in this past week that made this necessary. The comment that everybody was talking about.
In the Central Park Five.
Out there in the country tonight. Again, 30 days. What do you think the angle on that is?
For John McCain?
Yeah.
Of the United States. And Chelsea Why not?
Smart move, right? If you're going to do that, you might as well.
He's got problems with Latinos. In Arizona.
So you think, like, talking on the... Okay, so that's like a proxy for reaching out to Latinos?
You'd think. After the first
I think so. I think it's just like... I mean, I think that's part of it. I think he just wants to put himself out there as someone who's like a reasonable human being.
Right.
And
now's
the time that he had to present that, right? He couldn't do it before. But now he's in tight enough of a race that it, like, the Trump, non-Trump, he's in a general election.
Right.
He's trying to appeal to normal people.
Normal people. Right.
Try to stay on the message that he started with at the beginning of the last debate, which is Hillary Clinton is an outsider.
I'm not going out there.
Is an insider, rather. She doesn't represent change. She is just more of the same. She's a regular politician.
She's an insider. She has Hollywood access. Oh, wait, darn it. No. Inside Hollywood. Darn it. Really made him
succeed. She knows people like Billy Bush.
Crazy Lee Harvey Oswald.
Co-moderators Martha Raddatz, Anderson Cooper. They will walk out of the stage. We'll see if they do shake hands this time as they did during the first presidential
What do you
event.
Think? We've got a bet on...
historic moment begins.
What?
Right must on have, shaking
they,
hands?
They must have maybe already decided.
Oh, they're
going
to... I mean, wow. That's actually... I wouldn't take a bet on that. I have no idea. Hillary will go in for it because I think she follows protocol.
I'm Anderson Cooper from CNN. We want to welcome you to Washington University in St. Louis for the second presidential debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, sponsored by the Commission on Presidential Debates. Tonight's debate is a town hall format, which gives voters a chance to directly ask the candidates questions. Martha and I will ask follow-up questions, but the night really belongs to the people in this room and to people across the country who have submitted questions online.
The people you see on this stage were chosen by the Gallup organization. They are all from the St. Louis area and told Gallup they haven't committed to a candidate. Each of them came here with questions they want to ask, and we saw those questions for the first time this morning. Anderson and I and our team from ABC and CNN are the only ones who have seen them. Both candidates will have 2 minutes to answer each audience and online question. We hope to get
Unfortunately,
as many questions as
100%
can,
of the questions
the here not
involve the word pussy,
down with
so
any applause,
we cannot.
Except for now. Ladies and gentlemen, the Republican nominee for President, Donald J. Trump, and the Democratic nominee for President, Hillary Clinton.
They announced them at the same time. Oh, no. Oh, she iced him.
Wow.
She iced him. Nice. And he didn't know what to do about it. She iced him.
That was very unfair.
Are you waiting for a
pussy
grab?
Thank you very much for being here. We're going to begin
it
with
me
a
off.
Question
do over.
From one of the members in our town
we should restart the debate.
Each of you will have 2 minutes to respond to this question. Secretary.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick. Pilot light shining bright. I get somewhere.
skip